Greetings and welcome to Yes, a Stripper podcast.
This is our podcast, all of ours.
A podcast for all sex workers.
In this podcast, we will discuss the ins and outs, ups and downs of our lives and experiences as sex workers. I am your host, Daisy Ducati.
I am your Hopra, Gigi Holiday.
I'm your stripper queen from the north, Onyx. And this is Yes, a Stripper podcast.
Hi, everyone. AMD here. From Yes, a Stripper podcast. This is my first episode that I'm recording by myself in about a year. We just released the Hopra's Reunite episode last month, which was all four hosts, which was super fun to be reunited. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you definitely should go listen to that because it's got updates for each host and what each of us were doing during the break. And those babes stayed really busy. Gigi, Daisy, and Onyx, they were just there up to so many great things, winning awards, being in movies, etc. So highly recommend to give that a listen. Today's guest, I'm very, very excited to introduce you to. And for those of you who follow us on social media, we made a post recently asking you a question about what pole dance studios can do to make strippers and sex workers feel safer in that space. I've got to be honest with y'all, I was not expecting the response that we got. We got like over 270 likes, like dozens of comments. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but our account's not super huge yet. So it was really awesome. And I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who participated in that thread. And as mentioned in that thread, we will be reading those comments on air today with Emily Cipriano, who is our guest. Shit, the cat is out of the bag. And she is doing incredible things at her studio. And we are going to get to all of that. I just need to make sure I'm running through all of these. Yeah, I wanted to tell you all too that this things are going to be a little different this time around. You know, in the past, we've been doing longer episodes. On my episodes in particular, I'd like them to be a little shorter, and I'd really like to maintain this audience engagement. It was so fun hearing from all of you. So anyways, I just wanted to put that out there and let you know that, yeah, the format will be a little different than what you remember. With that being said, I'm totally done rambling. Let's hear Emily's voice. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Hi, I am. How are you?
Oh my God, I'm so excited too. I even put colored tinted lip gloss on for you today. I don't.
Same.
Don't wear lipstick anymore. I feel like I'm in drag when I wear lipstick now. Uh-huh. Do you feel that way anymore?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't do lipstick. I don't want to wear a bra. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh God, bras are the absolute worst. Speaking of bras, I tried on that outfit that you gave me the other day.
Oh, yeah, homie.
That thing is like three times too small. My tits are so fat. They were like spilling out.
I still want a picture. All right.
You know, okay, fine.
Like, I want a picture. I need to see it first.
I tried so many ways to fit them in there, and I was just like, no. It's such a high quality piece, too. So I'm going to give it back to you.
I know it has such
it really does. So for those of you who are listening, it's like a black onesie. It was like satin, but the material was like thick. It was quality.
Yeah. There was an underwire. Like, I mean, it has everything that you potentially need for success.
Absolutely.
And then
it's just the tits were not having it. Yeah. Then they make all the rules. You know, whatever they say goes.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Emily, you know, I don't feel like enough people know about you as like, and I feel like more people should know about you because you have an extensive stripping career that we're going to talk about today and all of your accomplishments. And you've had a pole dance studio for 15 years. That's a long time.
Yeah. 15 years. I know.
So, crazy. Well, yeah. So, we're going to need you to like kind of give us a rundown of your career so people can get to know you. Because on Instagram, you're not even on Instagram.
I've not. Right. No, I am a TikToker.
Right, right. But on TikTok, you have like tens of thousands of followers on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like 17,000.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really not about me. I think it's the dragons. But okay. I will take credit.
Well,
for it.
You know. For anyone who's confused about what the dragons means, we will definitely get into that and maybe get one on camera at some point.
Yeah, yeah. We'll
see. Okay, so give us a rundown. Like, who are you? What have you done?
So I was a stripper for almost 18 years. So fun. I worked all over, primarily in Philadelphia, but I worked a few other cities. We used to travel, do all kinds of fun stuff. I won Entertainer of the Year, Miss Exotic Pennsylvania, Diamond G-String. I'm sure there's more. It was a long time.
Yeah.
It was so fun. And then I opened the
yes.
studio.
Can you tell people like where, what, the branding, stuff like that?
Yeah. So it's called the Pennsylvania Pole Academy. We're here in Pennsylvania. We're in Bucks County. Online. It's at papoledancing.com. We're on all social media, even Instagram. And it's awesome. It's been a really wild 15 years. You know, everything has changed. The industry has changed. I mean, just the
everything,
you know. So it's been interesting to see it kind of play out and to see, you know, where it's going, where it's been.
Yeah. So what made you decide to open a pole dance studio as a stripper?
You know, I had a child. I just had my daughter. And I was kind of taken away from the only thing that I knew. I mean, at that point, I had been working in clubs for 10, 12 years maybe. So it was my life, you know, and I had a baby. And I was kind of taken away. So I was lonely. I was looking for, like a replacement. You know, I wanted the same thing from the pre-mom spot, you know? So I wrote some notes down on a bar napkin and then here we are.
It's your version of Google Docs.
I swear to God, that actually happened. Yeah. Which I am going to send you, by the way.
Yes. Yeah, so I remember recently you telling me a story about what it was like when you first opened your club. Do you mind sharing that? Is that something you care to share?
Yeah, it was I will. It was not a pleasant experience. You know, when I especially because it's called the Pennsylvania Pole Academy, there is no question, you know, about what we do and what's happening inside those doors. So, People were not excited in the community to have us there. Immediately, it was looked as something awful that I had brought to this town, and that was without even meeting me, without hearing anything that I wanted to do. So it was not the best, but we didn't stop.
Right,
you know, it was like it wasn't going to deter me, so we kept going.
So one of the things that I remember you mentioning to me is that there were like picketers outside, and that must have been How did that feel? Like, how many people were there?
So in the beginning, there was 3 to 4, because I had put up a temporary sign in my door. So 3 to 4 would stand outside and wait, and I would hold my daughter's hand walking in, It was so tough because I was so excited to bring something back that I was missing and I needed. I love everything that's happening right now.
It's a cat butthole in my face, in your face, in everyone's face.
Yes, I love it.
It's fine. So I think it's important for the audience to know like where we live, and also for the audience to know that we live like 15 minutes away from each other and we become friends very recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah, I know. It's so exciting.
It is so exciting. For me, moving here from Los Angeles is like just a huge culture shift. Yeah. And so I don't think we should kind of probably tell the audience like what it's like where we are and maybe give them a better idea of why picketers, like why it was more probable and happened that picketers showed up at your business when you opened. Do you want to?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's definitely rural. Yeah. Here, I think is a good term to put it. I mean, we have these little towns, but you know, it's nothing compared to a city or even a suburb of a city. I mean, they're pretty small and pretty spread out. Like, it's not a place that you couldn't have a vehicle. You know, I feel like we've both lived in places where you never needed a car but here you do.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, there's still some of that kind of old mindset, out here.
Yeah.
Just the very, you know, people have blinders on and they think one way, and, you know, there is no room for learning new things or, you know, understanding a different way. It's just, you know, this is the way that works and that's what they do.
Yeah.
I do think it's different now.
Okay.
Than it was, you know, I think there has been some progress, you know, made, but it is a giant shock coming from a sizable city.
Yeah. And you would have spent a lot of time in Philadelphia because that's where you worked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely more conservative. It's very quiet. It's very family, traditional values type of area. It's very American pride. Mm-hmm. Not super diverse. And yeah, I can see 15 years ago, mm-hmm. right? I could see, based on what was happening in the world and in the pole dance industry / community in general. I mean, that's when the pole dance industry was just taking off. I actually just analyzed the timeline yesterday. It's been popping for 15 mm-hmm. years, which means you were at the very beginning of all of this. And it's just dawning on me now that you, yeah. someone like you, is being left out of history of pole dancing. That is a huge milestone in our history that you were open 15 years ago.
I mean, and it's crazy because I was the only one outside of the city of Philadelphia and New York. There wasn't any others around when you got out, you know, out of those limits.
Right.
So, I mean, it was quite a feat to even open, you know, with this idea and the concept and bringing this part of life to a town that had never seen it.
Right.
You know, I mean, they have no experience.
Right. Yeah. Gosh, that was a huge responsibility that you took on. Were you even aware that was like, was that even something in your peripheral thought process while you were going through the, like opening the business that you're like, oh, people might be mad at me?
No, but I think because even though I lived in this town, I worked, and I had a social life outside of the zip code. So I wasn't even used to that mindset. You know, I wasn't used to people being offended by what is normal for me, you know? I mean, it's like, it's the truth.
That's an amazing quote. That is so, like, that really hits home for me, because it's like, it's so, everything is so normal to us, but then we're looked at sideways, and I'm like, and it's like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. What are you talking about?
Like, this is
yeah,
me. Yeah. But it's the same. I sometimes I feel like people put understanding and acceptance in the same boat, and they really don't belong together all the time. You can understand and still not support, you know, or even accept, but you can understand, and vice versa, right? You can accept or support something, but not understand it at all. And I think out here, it's, you know, the line is just very drawn, or it was, it has changed, like I said, since, but, it was just kind of drawn. You either fit in this mold or you don't. And there was no, you know, going in between.
So one of the things that is really special about your studio is obviously it's a stripper-owned studio. that's very special. I don't think there are as many of them as we would like. And and one of the things that, well, many of the things that you do is you make this space very safe for strippers and sex workers. Hence why we asked that question online, because I already know what you're doing. And I would love for you to share what you feel comfortable sharing about the ways that you make the pole studio safe for strippers and sex workers from the beginning up until now.
I just, you know what's so funny is when we first started talking about this, when we started talking about some of the comments, right? I was like, but I just thought that this was normal. I didn't think that it was like, I've never looked at it like I'm going above and beyond. To me, it's been, this is a normal way of respecting the industry and humans, you know, like it's just so crazy. But so everyone has, they have a right when it comes to privacy at the studio. If they want information disclosed, such as their profession, or anything, they can do it. If they don't, it's not. We are really big on safety. And that's a physical safety, mental safety, emotional safety. It's the whole, there's so many different avenues of safety. And we really want to make sure that we are fulfilling all of those. We have, I mean, when it comes to security stuff, we go above and beyond. We support the club that is closest to the studio. We work with them on countless events. You know, I just tested a ranch bottle last week.
We're going to have to get into it now that you said it.
I offer. It's a shining moment in my career. So I have always offered private rental time. So, and the way our rental time works is it's a per hour rental. And that can be done even if you work second or third shift. I mean, I recognize that not everyone is a 9-to-5-er. So if it works with your schedule and to do a rental from 10 p.m. until midnight, we can do that. And our rentals are 100% just you. If you are renting the studio, you don't have staff running around. So you really have an opportunity if you want to train or practice or whatever it is. You have that freedom to do so with it without an audience.
That's
basically
really nice.
So that's super great.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so basically you...
I mean, I also hire...
Yeah, strippers. As instructors. Right? Yeah, as instructors. Yeah. And that's amazing because one of the... And we'll get into the comments. The comments are like, you know, stop having non-sex workers teach like stripper style and sexy classes, you know, and that's, you know, I agree with that 100% because the whole central part of pole dancing, that comes from strippers and sex workers. They're the experts. They're the, you know, like it makes no sense for a non-expert to be teaching that when there's all these other experts like available. So it's beautiful that you do that.
Yeah. And I like that everyone brings something kind of different, you know, to the table. Like I don't want a staff that's cookie cutter and, you know, just kind of thinking on one wavelength, whether that's, you know, a competition based or stripper. Like I want a whole gamut of people with different talents on the team. And that's what I have. And it's really great.
That's amazing. So and then
my instructors who are strippers.
Yeah, oh, I know. I've seen them. They are. So you're not getting out of this, though. We are circling back to the ranch bottle comment because you said it. So you.
The ranch bottle. I know. But also, you know, if this comes up, we have to mention
chicken
that
feet.
You were wearing chicken feet.
Okay, so the local club.
Chicken feet. Yeah, which by the way, I gave away
to one of the dancers at the club. Right? You gave it to one of the dancers. Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
So, Double Visions is our local strip club. We absolutely love Double Visions. In my stories, actually, my friend Boo Boo Brian was like, "Oh, I love Double Visions." And I'm like, "Wait, you know what Double Visions is?" He lives not anywhere close to here. And we used to live in LA together. So I'm like, how the fuck do you know about double visions? So apparently one of his very close friends lives here. And so anyways, double visions, very, very fun strip club. It's as far as like labor rights, it's one of the best. Not perfect, but one of the best I've encountered. And they had a chicken wing eating contest, which is a Philadelphia annual holiday. Do you want to explain more?
It's it's been a tradition in Philly for years. And the idea behind the Wing Bowl, it is the biggest party day of the year in the strip club industry here in Philly. But it was actually created, and I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, to as kind of like a pep rally for the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl, which there was a giant stretch of time that didn't happen. So that event just kept growing every year. And it was, you know, and then they said once they go to the Super Bowl, they're not going to do it anymore. The Eagles went to the Super Bowl. So now the official Wing Bowl is actually not a thing. Now it's called something different. It's celebrated a little bit different, but that's I'm okay. Almost positive. Please don't come for me, Philly, if I got it wrong. But it's something like
got that. Got it. And so the local strip club did a wings eating contest, and we went, and one of Emily's friends went dressed as a chicken bone, like a chicken thigh leg, like a leg, right? Like a one with a bone at the end.
She was, she was like a wing.
And you were a ranch bottle.
Yep. That's right. What she was.
And you were a giant Hidden Valley, I think.
I pulled the short straw and, it was hidden. There was the entire ingredient list on my back. I mean, again, it was a shining moment in my career. I'm going to add it to my resume. I have had actually other places reach out.
What do you mean? Like they want you to make an appearance as the ranch bottle? Can you share the
picture? Yes. Yes. They want Tasha and I to come in our outfits. And I'm like, I'm not a mascot for hire. Like I was doing this to make everyone laugh and embarrass myself for one event. And now I have restaurants that want me to come as a mascot for
that her. Is amazing. Are you not going to do it? I'll do it for you. If you don't want to do it, I don't care. That is amazing.
I mean, yes, then we may have another business.
Can I share a photo of you as a ranch bottle on social media?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, I'm doing it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I trained really hard, you know.
And so just to like kind of full circle this, you like go to the amateur contest, you go to the strip club, you check on the dancers, like you're very still involved with the local stripper community, yeah?
Yeah. We donate to a bunch of their competitions and their events. They have one this weekend that we donated half the prize money to. I love to check on everybody there, see if there's anything I can do to help. I drop off goodies all the time. You know, if anybody needs a safe ride, they know they can call me and I will be there. Any type of help that has always been hard to get, I would like to offer.
That's so awesome. We definitely need more people like you that are running studios and that are local business owners to like be accepting and like helpful to strippers. And like you said, like it's just so natural because that's where you came from. But like, I don't want to say unfortunately, but it is what it is. A lot of pole dance studios are not owned by strippers. And so
I know. And a lot of strippers don't even feel comfortable going to studios just as a paying customer in a class or if they offer some type of rental, they don't feel comfortable in an environment in which should feel very comfortable. Yeah.
Yes, I know. I was raised in Los Angeles. When I say raised, I mean from an 18-year-old to an actual adult. And the pole dance studios there were the first two, one was opened by an ex-stripper. And the other was opened by someone who was best friends with a stripper. And so that was she was their main instructor. And okay. So all in Los Angeles, it was extremely inclusive for strippers to show up. Has been my experience, if that is not someone else's experience. I'm not speaking on behalf of everyone. And so I didn't, and then I see around the country a lot of other comments to the contrary. And it just blows, because I remember when pole dancing first started coming up in the studios, I started teaching in the studios in 2007. And other strippers were talking mad shit in the dressing room about pole dance studios opening. Because I think they predicted what actually happened was that we were kind of like, oh, well, we don't want to be gross like you. So we're going to do this thing over here that's like.
But we want to do what you're doing, exactly,
but like not
doing
the gross stuff that you do on the side.
Mm-hmm. Right. But not gross. You're like, what?
Yeah. So my experience was very different. Things felt more inclusive. But when things started happening in different parts of the country, that's when I got really mixed messaging. Like we were all getting kicked to the curb, basically. And that's been happening since the beginning of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's painful.
Yeah, it's never ending, and it's always just in a different, and it's just always in a different way, almost.
Yeah,
you want to read stuff?
I do want to read stuff, but really quickly, I want to make sure that you notice that I'm wearing my pole, PA Pole Academy hoodie, looking all cute and shit.
twins.
Okay.
We do have.
Oh no, you have
right.
I love it. Yes. And also, speaking of Pole Academy gear, let's just talk real quick. So, y'all, I'm in this studio, right, for the first time in a long time. And I'm like, I go into the bathroom. I'm like, there's like a dozen different types of maxi pads and tampons. There is hairspray. There is body spray. There was a full Starbucks spread.
Yeah. Snacks.
So many snacks.
Ice machines. Everyone has asked for a chocolate fountain. I'm like, can we keep this?
The amenities are incredible.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway. And the hair ties.
I know. And I have so many people
ask. All the hair ties.
Yeah. I have so many people ask me, like, how much for a tampon? And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, well, if this is out at other studios, what? I have to pay for it. I was like, no. Complimentary. Oh yeah, there are studios around. I know of some in PA that you have to pay for stuff like water, tampons, yoga mat rentals.
You're kidding.
Water. No. You have to pay for water. I'm like, it is a gym studio, dance studio type environment. Water is a basic human necessity, right? I mean, in my opinion, tampons should be a basic human necessity that people shouldn't have. I mean, you're not asking to get your period, you get it. So here's, you know, at least something. Hair ties. God forbid your hair
ties. Sucks. That sucks when you don't have a hair tie. Oh, my goodness. All right, let's read some of these comments.
Are you reading?
Do you want to go first? Right. Why don't you go first? You want me to go
first?
Okay. So the first comment that we're going to read today, and we're not reading everyone's comments, although thank you to everyone because, you know, there were actually so many. Our first comment is from Gutter Puke, and his comment reads, not letting the non-sex worker teachers cosplay as sex workers, only having sex worker instructors for classes that are sex worker coded. Letting instructors set their own prices for private lessons, giving instructors bonuses for double booking their classes. I could go on and on. The dressing up as strippers and sex workers things comes up a lot, and not just the dressing up as, but also what I see that I don't like and hear about a lot is the throwing of money in the pole dance studios when it's like not a stripper thing, right? Like, and this is interesting. This brings up an interesting thing. So, like, you're a stripper, I'm a stripper. What if we're there, right? Are we then, what do you think about this? Like, what's been your experience with, like, the dressing up or acting as strippers or throwing money like you're a stripper? What do you think?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that there's definitely two sides to it. I completely understand the one of like, you know, it shouldn't be done. And I get the frustration. The other side, and what I have seen, at least within my studio walls, is by doing things like dressing up, as strippers or the money throwing, it has helped kind of create an understanding and a level of, I guess I don't want to say a level of acceptance, but definitely of just kind of understanding. And then to see someone who would normally not want to wear stripper clothing, you know, feel comfy and confident and sexy, and then it kind of just gives them an awareness to the industry and the what it's more, there's just so much more to it, you know.
Yeah. And I think also along with this comment, he's saying I know Gutter Puke, so I think what he's saying is, you know, having sex worker instructors for classes that are sex worker coded, for instance, like stripper style, that's like a typical commonly titled class. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, should there be non-strippers teaching a stripper style class? I say no. I believe no. That a non-stripper should teach something that's coded as stripper. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if it's coded for a stripper class, but what about what if the instructor who is not is not a stripper? What if they have a style or a routine that they put together that's just really like off the charts awesome? Should they not have the opportunity to teach that because they, you know, I like to say like, right, you know, earn your stripes kind of thing. It's like, I guess kind of that gray area.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, if it is a stripper coded class, then it should be true to the name and to the form of what you're doing.
I used to teach a sensuality class, and I feel like you don't need to have been a sex worker to be in touch with and express yourself sensually or to know how to do that.
Right.
But I think if it were...
Right. Yeah, like I would never offer like a stage presence class and have someone who has never been on
exactly
stage teach it, right? That's very niche-y. So yeah, so like something that's you wouldn't be unable to teach the class without having firsthand knowledge, you know, that should be true to the class and to the instructor and the experience.
Awesome. Well, speaking of that, we could read the next comment, which kind of ties into that one. You're up. Yeah.
So am I going? Is it me? Okay. Kitty, I'm also like blind, so I love that you're like, just read it off the phone. And I'm like, let me get my trifocals in order here. All right, ready? It's actually happening. I'm like, wait, I don't, okay. So this is some, is there a camera girl? This is some joke, isn't it? Okay. Oh. Losing your pods. All right, Kitty Velour. Hire strippers and sex workers to teach classes and workshops. Talk about the history of pole dancing classes, especially heels classes. Offer sex worker discounts. Teach students how to confront horophobia and avoid horophobic language.
I love that. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Do you have any thoughts on that? Because I have thoughts. So I'm going to wait.
I mean, like, this is one of those things where I'm like, I feel like, we do it. Like,
it's oh, I'm done not worried about you.
Because I just thought that that's what was. No, I know. But I'm like, it's hard for me to even come to terms with there there would be a studio not incorporating right. these things, you know, because it's just, to me, it's
so you guys,
the norm.
Right. Like, why would, so you all not? Talk about the history of pole dance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. Like, I mean, I'm open about right. my experiences and, you know, and, you know, how in my experience, mm-hmm. how clubs have changed over the years, what it was like, you know, in 2001 totally versus now. And then a lot of the, especially like when it comes to the heels and stuff, I mean, for the longest time, right, no studio even allowed heels. So it was like, no way, we can't have that. It's trashy. And now everyone understands why we love our
heels.
Well,
heels they're also
so
functional.
Much.
I'm sorry. Nope. It's a functional shoe yeah. for the activity we're doing, yeah. just like a ballet shoe is, or a swing dance shoe, or a tap dancing shoe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
Well, my yeah. thought on yeah. it is, I don't know, what if Pole Dance Studios had like a little pamphlet where it's like when you're first signing up, it's like, yo, here's the deal. Okay. You know what I mean? Why not?
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Either digital or yeah. tangible or both.
That might be cool.
Yeah.
Or like at least have, like, even if there's a link on their website, something. Like at least some type of yeah. access to, you know, to the history and to, again, especially when it comes to, you know, confronting horophobia and to avoid horophobic language. A lot of people don't understand what that means. You know, they're like, first off, they hear the word whore, right? And they're like, crap, shut down. Can't talk about that.
Right. That's no, no word. Right. Yeah. Like, meanwhile, I'm like, it's a yes, yes word.
I know, right? I was like, what do you, I mean, I also, you know, have necklaces that say whore and stuff. So anyway, here we are. But I save those for PT at school. But a lot of people, like, you know, and again, that's a communication thing. You know, if we kind of helped someone who doesn't know, who is scared of that word, and it kind of, you know, let's teach people, let's offer tools so that they can better the knowledge, and then we right. can help the change. Right. I mean, that should be
totally. Okay, so this next one's a little longer. Excuse me, kitty cat. Okay, this one is by Body by Blunts, which I just think is, like, I'm totally jealous.
I love these
I'm
names
so jealous
much.
Of that handle. I'm so jealous. Anyway.
I love yeah, these names
they
so
wrote,
much.
Educate their students in the literature prior to taking the class. Hello, pamphlet idea. Make sure it's on socials and website. Yes, yes. That this is something you take seriously. So seriously that you only allow sex worker instructors for pole classes and prioritize sex worker students. It lets us know you take us seriously and respect that learning these skills is more than fitness. It could mean survival. So no one should play in it and forget that this isn't something for all people to reclaim. And that's okay too. Sex worker coded sexy classes have got to stop being taught by people who aren't us. So similar to what Gutter Puke was saying about, you know, teaching what's coded. And then, but I just also wanted to mention the follow-up comment by another person to Body by Blunt's comment. It's by Julia.Laxer. And they wrote, and quiz them so they can gain entry. I just loved that. I love the idea of a quiz.
Yeah, yes. That's fun. You can't touch the pole, so you get three right.
Right.
Can you imagine? Like, buzzers. Like,
yeah,
but for you today.
Basically, Body by Blunts is pretty much saying what we just said, which is like, make this information mm-hmm. like super accessible to everyone
accessible.
And clear mm-hmm. and be and take yeah. it seriously. Like, don't be performative, right. right? We've seen that in the pole. I've seen it in the pole dance industry. Mm-hmm. Don't be performative. Like, it's an actual, like, have it be a policy. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many people, I think, that are afraid to hurt feelings, yeah. right? And I complain about this all the time. If you own a pole dance studio, okay, you have a, like, you owe it to so many people to educate yourself and to help spread the education right. to others. You know, you need to right. take it seriously. It's It's not fair when that's not done, you know. And not that there's not other avenues of pole dancing. There are, but you know, you need to stay true to things and put it out there. That's how totally. That's how we get change.
It's your.
I feel like your cat is seducing.
Yeah, that's her way of seducing is showing her butthole. Hey, that's what I used to do too. Yeah. So no shade.
Yeah. same. Wait, how else do you tell people that you like them?
I don't know. It just seems normal. Okay. Meanwhile, okay. So you're next. Yeah.
All right. Is it my turn? Let's get the trifocals ready. All right. So. Can't see a thing. Nothing. Maybe if I go back further. All right. So, Juicy Phoenix. Like, oh my God. If we do this again, okay. I need cue cards or something.
All right, big lettering. The text bigger right? next like, time.
Braille, okay. In Toronto, we have a studio that opened their doors for free, and we can practice there every Wednesday for 3 hours. There is a limited space, and also you need to give them confirmation.
Yeah. Okay. I love that idea.
I mean, we have open studio times for members. Same thing, you have to sign up and confirm your spot. And then we have the private rentals. But yeah, I mean.
But I love what you told me earlier. Yeah. You have private rentals for $60 an hour. So if like a group of people want to come and rent it, it's not like each person. It's, which I've, right.
No. It's for the $60 total. And that's for a non-member, right? So. If you get some people together and whatever you want to do it for a member, so for someone who has a membership and attends classes, sex workers and non-sex workers, it's $35 an hour. And that's for the hour, not per person. So, you know, I mean, it would be awesome to be able to open up and offer time for free, but at the end of the day, it is still a business, you know? So, I try to keep it as fair as possible, and still, you know, operate the business. But yeah, I mean, private time and not at the crazy rates, you know, because everyone thinks strippers are just swimming in money. And I'm like, no, like really?
No.
Okay.
And there's also called exorbitant house fees and having to buy expensive outfits and do your hair and buy makeup and everything else. You know, you buy shoes, always buying shoes. Yeah, it's not cheap at all. Okay.
No. And I mean, let's you know, things are crazy right now. Lots of people don't have an expendable income. So, I mean, I'm not the idea that people are just rolling around in money on their bed. I'm like,
well, not only that, in the last 20 years with the rise of inflation, it has gone up dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
But the cost of lap dances has stayed the same in 20 years.
Remain the same.
Which means work as a stripper back in the day, we were probably making like three times as much comparatively than what they're making now. Anyway, next comment. I could spend hours talking about that. Bunny, you have to move, baby.
I can see your face.
Oh God, I know way too much. Okay, here we go. Jordan Kensley. Yeah. Past guest on Yes, a Stripper podcast. Don't create circumstances that would out us. It's not inclusive if I have to tell the world I'm a stripper to get support, and create spaces that recognize historical events and contexts of sex workers / pole. Create spaces that don't shame different types of sex work. Stop using derogatory terminology inside the studio. Create financial ways for club dancers to access the space. Discounts, specialty classes, jams, etc. Don't use your money during your showcase unless the dancer is an out club worker. It's coming up again. The using the money. It's a form of cosplay, I would I think. It's interesting. Yeah, but I agree. So there were some other comments on this thread as well, which I think is coming up. No. But there were other comments we're not reading today right now that are specifically talking about outing strippers. So in one comment, the pole dance studio owner was like, oh, go talk to so-and-so, their stripper, if you have stripper questions. And like, that's a big no-no. Like, you shouldn't just say like so-and-so's a stripper mm-hmm. without that person being like, you can say X, Y, and Z about me. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's, I've said it a million times, my favorite word across the board is consent. That's yes. the only thing that I care about. I think that privacy and safety are number one important mm-hmm. across the board. And if you are uncomfortable having the conversation so that everyone is on the same page, then you shouldn't be in a position that you would put someone right. in that kind of position, right? So if I have someone come to me and they tell me that they work at a club, immediately I'm going to say, is that something that you are going to, you know, make known here, or do you want to keep it? You tell me how to operate, and I'm going right. to respect your wishes.
Right.
End of story. You know, and everyone has to be yeah. on board with that as well. It's not fair.
Yeah, I agree. Cool.
And maybe there's, you know, and maybe there's a protocol, and that would be an individual kind of decision. You know, maybe like if it were me, I would say I don't want to be outed in a class, but if somebody has questions, they can approach me one-on-one, or, you know,
that's a really good point, because there yeah. are different levels of being out, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. Just like there are different levels of consenting to different levels of sex, right? Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right.
It's really
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah. And it all comes yeah. down to communication. Mm-hmm. You have yeah.
to use
you
your words.
Communicate.
Yeah.
We all have to,
but
use
I
that
mean,
word.
I think, right. but yeah, like, also, like, is as far as communication, I think it is the responsibility of, you know, the pole studio owner / management to do that, to initiate that type of communication.
It is absolutely. It is 110% the responsibility of the owner and or management staff or both. It is your job to make sure yeah. people are safe, are comfortable, their privacy is upheld in whatever level they want. You should have plans and protocols for every single yeah. thing, you know, when it comes to your
yeah,
members.
Yeah, because you Absolutely. Know what's so strange? It's like for the first time ever, it's dawning on me how much emotional and mental health responsibility lies on a pole dance studio owner. And I wonder how much these people mm-hmm. actually take that particular thing into account. I mean, you have this wide variety of people who are coming there to find a new form of mm-hmm. self-expression or a current form of self-expression. Mm-hmm. And everyone varies so widely mm-hmm. and self-expression is so stifled. We're so oppressed in this country. So I wonder if mm-hmm. pole dance studio owners are really taking that very heavily into account when they open these studios. I wonder if for them it's just like, mm-hmm. it's a fun new small business, where it's like, but there's like emotion
right.
and sexuality and like people overcoming mental mm-hmm. hurdles and a lot of people healing. Like, how much of that are these people mm-hmm. taking? Exactly.
And
relearning how to, it's self-acceptance. Things. Like,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, right, right. Yeah. And I think that that's missed, you know, my experience with other owners or from hearing from members that come to my studio about other owners is that's not in kind of their realm of what they deal with. And I'm like, it yeah. needs to be. There is a responsibility when you're working in this industry on any level that needs to be yeah. upheld and respected, you know?
Okay. We have one last comment. You ready?
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm so excited to read it. Okay. Pull your heart out. Offer practice hours during the day without charging us an exorbitant hourly private rental rate, for Christ's sake. It always feels so insulting as an active worker to throw down $50+ an hour to someone who's never lived off of stripper work.
Yeah.
I think that comes up a lot. I mean, but the idea that someone would base their prices off of whether someone was a sex worker or not is mind-boggling to me. I mean, can you? It would be like somebody comes in and you're like, "What's your profession?" And
is I'll that you know is that rate. What your takeaway from that comment or that you've seen before?
I think that is So that's my firsthand, I guess.
Okay.
Not from that comment. That's definitely what I've experienced.
Dang, wait. So you've experienced that people raise the rate depending on who you are? Gosh darn it.
They will do everything in their power to keep strippers and sex workers out of their studios. They don't want the affiliation,
God,
which is
so
like
irritating.
Who's gonna tell them? Like, who's
gonna
tell?
That's so freaking irritating.
You know.
Thank you for sharing that. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for everyone that shared their comments. I think it's really important that we have these discussions. And here's why. Because I have found out recently that through this podcast and through having these conversations that minds have been changed. And it is through conversation and compassionate and open and transparent conversation that we can start to affect any type of positive change. And even if it seems confronting to some of you who may be listening, who are pole dance studio owners, if you feel like some of this was confronting for you because you're doing the opposite of what you're hearing today, you know, good luck with absorbing the info. And I hope you learned something today. And it's none of this is meant to bash anybody. It's just to raise awareness about how these people are feeling, and they're your community members. These are people you walk past in the grocery store in civilian clothes, and we're all just people trying to do our best. And you should definitely be inclusive of the inventors of the activity that you're making money off of. So that's all I have to say about that. My soapbox, I've dismantled it right after I finished that sentence. This has been so awesome. Em, is there anything that you want to add before I make my final words before we close out?
No, I love you. I love the strippers. I love the sex
Me
workers.
Me too. Samesies. Yes. Right? And so I just wanted to remind everybody that our super awesome sexy stripper store is live. You can go to yesastripper.com, and purchasing from that store supports strippers straight up. It supports not only the guests and the hosts and the producer who all the hosts are strippers and all the guests are strippers and sex workers. It supports them, and we are donating to stripper charities and or projects every quarter. And our first org that we're donating to will be announced soon. We are working on it. I'm so excited. But anyways, go to yesastripper.com. We love you. It's a great way to support the podcast, and you get something really fun in return. Emily, please remind everyone again how to follow you on social media and how to find you.
So we are the Pennsylvania Pole Academy. It's PAPoleDancing.com. And me personally on TikTok, favorite thing ever, is that... Barbie
meets
Annabelle.
Got it. Awesome. What a pleasure. I can't wait to see you again in like a week. Yes. And hang out and drink one of the 25 so bottles of wine that we have in my house. I have so much wine right now. It's ridiculous.
I'm excited.
Yes. Yes, me too.
So
and thank you, as always, to all of our listeners for tuning in. If we didn't have listeners, we wouldn't have a podcast. So you make all of this possible. Thank you. Make sure you rate, subscribe, like, and share this amazing podcast. Bye, everyone. Thank you. Bye, Emily. Thank you for absorbing this episode of Yes, a Stripper Podcast. We love your listening. Yes, a Stripper Podcast is produced by Period Podcast Network. Please like, rate, and subscribe to our podcast, and please consider donating to help keep this podcast alive. Send your love to paypal.me/yesastripperpodcast.